Our next agenda item is our customary presidential report. Say what you want to say. We'll try. I had very little to do with the music selections, but I approve. Fellow Federationists, Barack Obama once said, "A good story gives you the chance to better understand someone else's life. It can help you find common ground. We, each of us, though being members of the Federation family, come from different backgrounds. We have unique experiences that have shaped who we are today. Those experiences color how we view the world and what we expect to take from it and give to it. We have a great deal that distinguishes us from one another. We have much more that we share with one another, and I'm not referring to our shared characteristic of blindness. And yet, our individual and collective stories, while helping to share our present, will only define our future in the ways we choose to let them. Sometimes the stories that people construct around us are inconsistent with what we want our stories to tell. These authors incorporate their own perceptions of who we are and what we experience and what we are capable of doing or not capable of doing when they craft those stories. It is our responsibility to correct the misinformation in their stories and reclaim our own narratives as blind people. We do this through our advocacy in areas such as education, employment, social services, and access to information. It is also necessary for us to reflect on our stories in order to appreciate what we've experienced and what we've learned from those experiences. More, it is necessary to assess whether the stories that define us are truly the representations that we want to show to the world. Do we own our stories or do they own us?" The author, Anika Utgard, stated, "One day I woke up and began to question my story, and it is precisely when I began to question my story that I began to integrate that story and learn from it." And when we assess our story to determine if they are an authentic representation, not just of our past, but also who we are now, we can redefine our own narratives. We can also redefine the future we want to have, not the future that has to fit within the constructs of our stories of our past or the stories others tell about us. We, in the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, are defining a future full of love, hope, and determination. Every day, we reshape the lives of our members, whether through advocacy, legislation, outreach, or the myriad of ways we fight for our freedom. Imagine the blind child who struggles to read along her sighted classmates. Imagine the anxiety and frustration she feels every time her class sits down for a reading lesson. Her classmates and perhaps even her teachers tell themselves a story about her, one about lack of ability, perhaps even one about lack of intellect. The story she tells herself is one of failure, perhaps even that she is not as bright as her classmates. However, we in the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland know that in fact, this child is living a different story. This child, like so many other children, is not receiving proper an appropriate Braille instruction, and she cannot read with her classmates because she hasn't been given the tools to do so. Now imagine the story told a different way when the child reads her first complete story for the first time. The frustration and anxiety will float away as she discovers the wonder of the written word. This hypothetical child story is unfortunately not unique to us, and it takes place all too often. In fact, the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland helped Kenny Smith, an 8-year-old from St. Mary's County, and his parents work to change Kenny's story, just like the hypothetical little girl. Kenny has lived his entire life in St. Mary's County, and he attends the St. Mary's County Public School System. At the end of the 2017-2018 school year, the only teachers for the blind and visually impaired, or TVIs, and orientation and mobility, or O&M instructors, for the county left the school district. Despite St. Mary's County knowing well in advance that these key positions were going to be vacant, the school system did not make much effort to fill the positions. As a result, when Kenny and other St. Mary's County blind students began the 2018-2019 school year, there was no one to teach them Braille, assistive technology, or O&M, or any of the other skills necessary for children to access the curriculum. Despite all of the efforts of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, St. Mary's County did not hire an on-site TVI or O&M instructor at all for the 2018-2019 school year. Eventually, more than halfway through the year, they engaged a TVI to teach Kenny remotely via computer. It's not sure how they thought that somebody could teach Braille, including proper hand techniques, to an 8-year-old remotely from hundreds of miles away. It's even less clear how they thought that they remote Braille could be taught using an outdated computer system that for several months never connected the video chat program used to conduct the lessons. Meanwhile, Kenny continued to fall farther and farther behind his classmates due to the lack of Braille technology and O&M. Finally, late in the school year, after it became clear that St. Mary's County was not addressing Kenny's needs not only for the current school year, but also not even attempting to secure effective instruction for the upcoming 2019-2020 school year, the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland decided it was time to rewrite Kenny's story from this point forward. The NFB of Maryland, with support from the National Federation of the Blind, filed a complaint against St. Mary's County based on Kenny's lack of access to appropriate special education services. We will not rest until Kenny receives the education services to which he is entitled under the law. Kenny's story will be one of triumph in overcoming an indifferent school system and the lack of meaningful Braille, technology, and O&M services for more than a year, because he has the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland behind him. Now, imagine a blind employee and her employer refuses to provide her with meaningful, reasonable accommodations because the employer believes that a blind person is not capable of performing the job. The employer's version of the story is that it is looking out for the employee's safety and that of the people the employer serves. Now here's the real story. Olivia Chamberlain is a blind child care worker with the Department of Defense. She has been in her job for 4 years and consistently received outstanding performance ratings. She has been promoted twice in the 4 years she has worked for the particular DOD child care at issue. Olivia had informal reasonable accommodations for 4 years because her previous managers had no concerns about her blindness. She also had assistive technology accommodations. In the summer of 2018, Olivia's employer hired a new supervisor to manage the child care program. This individual did not believe that a blind person could perform child care duties safely. In fact, she ordered Olivia to have a fitness for duty evaluation, which in federal speak means that the new manager felt Olivia could hurt herself or the children if she continued in the current job. The new boss told Olivia that she did not believe there was anywhere at DOD, even in the kitchen, that Olivia could work or any blind person could safely work. Olivia contacted the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, and we worked to first ensure that Olivia's area of DOD was educated about what a blind person is capable of doing, and that discrimination solely on the basis of blindness is illegal. We then worked to ensure that Olivia received her reasonable accommodations formally so that no supervisor in the future could arbitrarily take them away. We worked with Olivia to determine what additional accommodations would be helpful to perform her position and insisted that DOD provide them, particularly since the manager was so abhorrent about reasonable accommodations and Olivia was working much too hard to perform her work without any accommodations. We also assisted Olivia in filing a discrimination complaint against her new manager and DOD for failing to provide appropriate reasonable accommodations and for subjecting her to a fitness for duty exam simply due to her being blind. Then, when her new boss retaliated against her, right, we amended that discrimination complaint. We, in the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, know that the blind are perfectly capable of being competent child care workers, teachers, and parents. We will not allow anyone, not even the Department of Defense, to craft a narrative where an employee is shut out of this sort of work or virtually any type of work simply due to blindness. When Olivia contacted the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, she took control of her own story. And the version she is writing is authentic representation of the abilities of the blind. Olivia and Kenny are both here with us today. Desiree Gonzalez is a blind employee of Delaware North, a food services contractor that does substantial business with the Baltimore Orioles. Desiree was hired in the winter of 2019 to provide catering assistance. However, once she showed up on the first day of work with her guide dog, suddenly Delaware North claimed they didn't have any work for Desiree and would call her if something became available. Desiree knew that the story that Delaware North was telling her didn't add up because the Orioles play 81 games at Camden Yards, and there are dozens of other events at the park requiring catering services. Desiree took control of her own story by contacting the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland. When we met with Delaware North, we learned that the story they were spinning to themselves was that the food preparation area was not a safe place for Desiree's service animal. They also believed that the dog was not hygienic, and thus it could not be in the food preparation area. They indicated they were researching options, and that was why they did not call Desiree back into work. The National Federation of the Blind of Maryland very quickly disabused them of this false narrative about guide dogs. We worked with Desiree and Delaware North to ensure that she was granted a reasonable accommodation to bring her guide dog into the park, that the dog was given an appropriate location to be while Desiree was working in the small kitchen area, and that Desiree was given an opportunity to take breaks as needed during longer shifts to care for her dog. The National Federation of the Blind of Maryland and Desiree changed the direction of her story by educating Delaware North about Desiree's rights and abilities. Once again, we refuse to allow someone else's version of our story to keep us from meaningful employment. Desiree is also here with us this weekend. Sometimes entities fight very hard to write our stories. This seems to be the case with the Maryland State Board of Elections, or MSPBE. Prior to 2014, everyone in Maryland used an electronic voting system. However, the Maryland State Board of Elections claims it changed over to a paper ballot for the 2016 election cycle because federal law required a paper audit trail. However, we know that federal electronic ballot machines are capable of creating a paper audit trail. The real reason the Board of Elections changed over to paper ballots is because it succumbed to bullying by candidates who were going to be placed lower on the ballots, requiring them to move to a second or third page in a particular contest. I'll just note that in the dozens of states that continue to use electronic ballot marking tools since 2016, no states believed its citizens were too incompetent to click, quote, next page, other than Maryland. The Maryland State Board of Elections maintained an electronic ballot marking device, or BMD, for individuals with disabilities. They did so because the Help America Vote Act and the ADA, but the Help America Vote Act, which the National Federation of the Blind helped get enacted, requires that individuals with disabilities be able to vote independently and secretly. But since the BMD ballot is distinct in shape, size, and appearance from the paper ballot, it is easily identifiable. Individuals with disabilities are given access to the BMDs, but individuals without disabilities are, for the most part, only given access to the paper ballot, resulting in segregated voting in Maryland based on disability. And yet, the Maryland Attorney General had to tell MSBE that it had to increase the sample size of individuals using BMDs in order to protect the secrecy of voters with disabilities. So MSBE implemented a 2 BMD minimum in each precinct, and they claimed that this would be sufficient to mask the votes of individuals with disabilities. In what world does two ballots ensure secrecy? What mathematical genius decided that two was a large enough sample size? Probably the same person who didn't think Maryland voters could click next page. As you would expect, MSBE data proves that in many precincts, there were not 2 BMDs used. Not just in the 2016 election, but both the 2018 primary and 2018 general. In fact, it does in dozens of precincts, only one person or even no people use the BMDs. So how is a single BMD ballot going to mask a CMD ballot at a precinct? It doesn't, of course. We tried working with MSBE in 2016, 2017, and 2018 to get them to change their two-voter policy, but they were not interested in doing so. We tried working with the Maryland legislature in 2019 to pass legislation to reinstate the secret ballot and desegregate voting based on disability. However, MSBE opposed the bill. So, because voting is at the core of the American story, and because we have a fundamental right to vote privately and independently, and for our ballots to be indistinguishable based on disability, we felt we had no choice but to sue the Maryland State Board of Elections. Let me tell you about Marie Cobb's, Ruth Sager's, and Joel Zimba's voting stories. You'll hear more this afternoon. Many of you have similar stories, but these three individuals are our named plaintiffs in our lawsuit to desegregate voting in Maryland. Joel Zimba is the only person who voting using the BMD at his local precinct. All of the staff at the polling location and many of the candidates know him and call him by name. Thus, Joel is deprived of a secret ballot because his ballot is the only one that looks different, and everyone knows that he is the person who produced it. Ruth Sager went to her polling precinct and was told that the BMD was broken. Incidentally, each voting location has, since 2016, only one BMD. She was instructed to have her husband fill out a paper ballot for her. She declined, and a poll worker attempted to read the ballot for her. That poll worker had difficulty pronouncing names and with referendum costs. Once the poll worker finished, the ballot scanner couldn't read her paper ballot, and a second poll worker had to act as her reader scribe. Ruth had to share her private voting choices with two different poll workers, and she spent nearly an hour trying to vote at a location with no line. Marie Cobb arrived at her polling location, and the staff told her they didn't know how to operate the BMD. She attempted to use the machine unsuccessfully before asking her 13-year-old granddaughter to help her. Carly realized that the BMD's electrical cord was not plugged in and was, in fact, still wrapped up and affixed to the machine. Marie and Carly had to plug in the BMD, set it up, and figure out how to use it on their own. Marie arrived to vote in the afternoon, and none of the poll workers had even thought to engage the BMD before her arrival. She's had similar challenges in every election since 2016. It has taken her 30 to 60 minutes to vote in every election, despite there being no line in her precinct. Marie's, Joel's, and Ruth's voting horror stories demonstrate why we're being denied our civil rights due to how Maryland operates its elections. Their stories and all of your stories, our stories, are why we will continue to fight to restore the secret ballot to the blind and desegregate voting based on disability in Maryland. Jackie Anderson irrevocably changed our story when she had the idea to establish a program to teach children the blindness skills that they were either not receiving in school or that they needed to have reinforced. Jackie's idea for the NFB Braille Enrichment Literacy and Learning, or Bell Academy, which was piloted in Maryland, has flourished into a national program with dozens of iterations. We were delighted that Jackie returned to us last summer to lead our NFB Baltimore Bell Academy. The Baltimore, Salisbury, and Glendale NFB Bell Academies provided blindness skills training, socialization, and access to blind role models to 23 blind children in Maryland. I believe that the NFB Bell Academy is the most important program we operate as an organization. We have determined that we will shape the narratives of our blind children when they are young so that they have the skills and confidence to write the stories they want for their lives. We thank all of the volunteers who made a difference by touching the lives of the 23 students who attended our NFB Bell Academy this summer. We remain committed to giving young people the tools to define their own stories. This year, for the first time, we established the NFBMD internship program to help give a high school, college student, or recent graduate meaningful work experience. Tonight, at our banquet, we will award John T. McGraw scholarships to two deserving students. We have awarded Sharon Manecki Youth Empowerment Grants to two young people pursuing training and access technology. We not only give these young people the freedom to write their own stories through their scholarships and grants, but we also grant them the control and confidence to do so. Maryland is piloting a career mentoring program along with Nebraska and Mississippi. The National Federation of the Blind is working with the Maryland Department of Rehabilitation Services, Office on Blindness and Vision Services, to implement a mentoring program for transition-age youth, emphasizing the skills for college preparation and job readiness. We are grateful to all of the mentors who are sharing of themselves and their stories with their mentees to help lay the foundation for success for Maryland's mentees. I want to congratulate and welcome all the staff and students from BISM's core and SAIL training programs who are attending this convention. Your choice to get adjustment to blindness training is the manifestation of you making the choice to control and write your own story. We continue to publicize that we own our stories and that we are the experts on blindness and our work with the Maryland Legislature. This year ushered in a new General Assembly with nearly 100 of whom were brand new. We worked tirelessly to educate them about our issues related to equal access. We attended more than a dozen hearings and testified at more than half a dozen. We even attended 4 hearings at the same time one day. Though we did not get our voter bill passed and only some of our dockless scooter concerns were addressed by the 2019 legislature, we will not give up on these matters. The General Assembly does continue to support our work at the Center for Non-Visual Access, or CENA, in conjunction with the Maryland Department of Disabilities. And the CENA has implemented a fellowship program to higher education institutions to incorporate accessibility concepts within the minimum areas of instruction within at least one course. To this end, students will learn about accessibility concepts in their course of study, resulting in more accessible websites, applications, and materials. This is one more way we are redefining our story by ensuring that those who communicate information to us do so in a way that is accessible to us. This past year has been a year of transition for the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland. At last year's convention, Sharon Manecki passed the mantle of leadership on to me. And her faith in me has meant the world. I've been working to learn her story, including the manual on how to run the myriad of programs and initiatives here in Maryland. And I've come to learn that what Sharon knows in her head would fill more than 100 encyclopedias. Sharon's story is intertwined with the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland story, and she has been the driving force behind much of our activism these past 30 years. But her endless knowledge and skills is amazing. But even more important than that is her heart. Fortunately, Sharon remains an active, vital member of our organization, and there are many, many pages of her story yet to fill. We implemented a membership initiative to formalize joining the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland this year, New members partake in orientation and development process prior to even joining the organization so that they know the essence of what our organization is, so that we get to know them prior to accepting their membership dues. We also, I like to say, memberize existing members throughout the spring and summer months, and this morning we held our final memberization ceremony for existing members. I have traveled the state of Maryland and visited with all 10 chapters and 4 divisions throughout our membership initiative. I have met with members I hadn't had the opportunity to meet previously with and have gotten to know better many I have known for years in a deeper and more meaningful way. I can say wholeheartedly that getting to know you all has been one of the best chapters of my story, and I will treasure it. In February, we lost one of our key leaders, Rachel Olivero. Rachel managed our web and technology initiatives, including our website, our member and contacts database, and our convention registration platform, just to name a few. Rachel's passing was devastating to many of us on a personal level, we also struggled operationally as an affiliate because we were so dependent on Rachel for our technology needs. Following Rachel's passing, the board and I worked to shore up our web and technology assets. We also worked to institute a continuity of operations plan so that if any key member of the affiliate leadership team were to become unavailable or incapacitated, the affiliate could continue to operate seamlessly. We hope to never need to deploy our continuity of operations plan, but should we ever need it, it is ready to go. We have also introduced a number of committees in the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, and it is my hope to grow and develop leaders in a myriad of ways, including by empowering members to take ownership of our programs and initiatives. You will find a list of our committees in the agenda. Please let me know if you are interested in serving on a particular committee. We are working hard to get our story out to the public and to narrate it in our own words. This fall, we embarked on a marketing campaign with local area radio stations to advertise our convention. We also held numerous Meet the Blind activities. One I'd like to highlight in particular is the jointly sponsored Wizarding Weekend on Maine in Old Ellicott City by the Parents and Central Maryland chapter. This incredible event resulted in blind Federationists interfacing with an estimated 10,000 people over approximately 2 days. We are raising expectations for the blind by getting out in the community. I am inspired by you every single day, whether it is sitting among you in a legislative hearing that was coordinated by our legislation committee, hearing our radio advertisement for this convention that our public relations committee developed, attending the dozens of IEPs this year with members of the advocacy committee, giving out NFB scavenger hunt maps and instructions at the NFB Wizarding Weekend on Maine that was organized by the Parents Division and the Central Maryland chapter, eating crab alongside you as we raise funds for our students, or one of the dozens and dozens of experiences we've shared. You are indelibly interwoven into my story. I am so honored to fight alongside you to secure our right to equal access to education, employment, social services, voting, information, and freedom for the blind. We have chosen to make our story about our fight for freedom, and we refuse to allow those who will take that freedom from us to shape the narrative. President Rick Obono said in his 2019 banquet address entitled Choice, Exploration, and Resistance, The Road to Freedom for the Blind, we are working closely with a diverse range of companies, organizations on partnerships to raise the expectations for the blind in this nation. Despite this progress, we have not yet advanced far enough on our road to freedom to avoid all conflicts. There are those who simply do not believe what we do about blindness. There are those who fear we are pushing too hard for change. There are those who believe that conflict is to be avoided at any cost. To those individuals, we say that we do not seek confrontation as a matter of course. We seek freedom for the blind as defined by our growing expectations for equality. When we can combine our efforts with others to build that future, we choose that path. However, if our freedom is in question, We are not afraid to choose confrontation if it is necessary to go the rest of the way to equality. For nearly 8 decades, we have committed to take freedom for ourselves, to own it, shape it, and strengthen it into a powerful force that allows all blind people to enjoy the full rights and responsibilities of our nation. Anika Utgard said, "I had to remind myself that I am the author of my own life, not anyone else, not society, not my family, not my friends, and certainly not my enemies. The sooner I decided to write myself a better story for my life, the sooner I could live the life I had dreamed of living." Fellow Federationists, it is precisely by choosing to write our own stories from our perspectives, focusing on our fight for freedom and equality, that we will define our individual and collective future. It is this very story that will turn our dreams into reality and empower us to live the lives we want. Thank you.